a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Brant, and I love Lifetime Christmas movies.
I'm Dan, and I despise Lifetime Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo, and Lifetime Christmas movies represent a real gamut in quality. And this
is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. You guys might not be able to see it, and by might not, I mean I know you can't, but Dan does a dance during the theme song, and it's a lot of pectoral movement is how I will...
It's a Watusi.
Yeah, you just never... That's why you got to be here live in the audience.
Yes, exactly right. How you guys doing? They are giving you a standing... Oh, my goodness.
That's my whole... That's my family. They came in today.
That sign says, bring back, take the day off. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Put your bag back on.
Jerry, get out of here. Jerry.
Come guys, on. Guys, how are we? Doing well today? Oh, another Monday? Man.
Lifetime?
My goodness.
To be fair, the two Lifetimes we've done on this show are...
We've only done two?
Love at the Christmas Table, Snowed In Christmas. Yeah. I believe that's it. Okay. And those are two of the best TV Christmas movies I've ever seen. Ever. So
we're here to balance out the slate.
We're here to let you know that they can't all be winners, folks.
Hey, guys, Dan likes Lifetime. Bring in Haley Duff, please. Bring her over.
I told you this, and I'll amend it slightly, but Haley Duff in this movie looks like Lady Gaga mixed with a sadder Lady Gaga. And I don't really know what to do with that. That's what she looks like. Nice minute.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. We're talking about All About Christmas Eve.
You know what I'm all about? Philo.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Me too.
Because I can watch Lifetime and Hallmark on the same streaming service with the best DVR at under $30 a month.
Yeah. I will say there's all different sorts of different ways to watch like just Hallmark or whatever. But to get this package
with both.
With all the channels that have the Christmas movies really is
up and BET.
VH1, AMC even. You got everything you could possibly want.
I've watched BET multiple days now since we've started this Philo thing. And I do feel like Martin is always on and I'm not upset about it. Yeah.
Who could be? Who would be?
He's the Golden Girls of
BET. Yeah. He is.
Yeah. Put Martin on.
It's fine. I love Martin. I don't know what you want from me. We're talking about All About Christmas Eve, which I had never seen before. Dan?
I've seen All About Eve with Alonzo on a film and a movie. We did All About My Mother. Both great, great movies. Yes. And this is right there, somewhere in there, I think.
Oh,
this
sure. Yeah. Absolutely deserves to be in the same conversation.
Alonzo?
I don't know why we left it off of a film and a movie. Really.
Had you seen this one?
I had not. This was the first viewing for me, too.
Love it.
I'm very excited.
I'm very excited to dive into it. It originally aired on Lifetime on December 9th, 2012, and maybe it'll air during Christmas in July. Who can tell? And it went a little something like this. Eve is a party planner, and she's pretty good at it. So good, in fact, that she can put together a Christmas-themed bar mitzvah, and it work. Her boss, Elizabeth, recognizes that talent, and who could not, and pegs her to potentially be the next big thing in the company heading up their L.A. office. Before getting that promotion, though, she has to do one big job. It's a major party planning gig with a tech company named Gobble. They are hosting a Christmas party for the investors in Beverly Hills, and the boss, his name is Aiden, he personally asks Eve to come for the project after they meet at a bar, and he really likes her. She, however, already has plans to go to Vermont with her boyfriend Darren. But he has some middle school classes to get to tomorrow. I kid, but am I? The boss basically says, no, you have to go or else you'll never get anywhere in this business. So she goes. And then from there, the movie splits into two different scenarios, movies, whatever.
Say what?
One is where she wakes up late and she makes it to the airport. She makes her flight and she's drinking wine on the flight and she's having all sorts of good time. And then the other one is where she misses the flight. In one of the scenarios, she's loving life. She's at the top of her game. She is in first class. She is going to move ahead in her career. And she also finds herself falling in love with Aiden as she's planning the party. In the other, she gets fired for missing the flight, finds her boyfriend cheating on her, and doesn't know what to do with her life. In the successful timeline, she still ends up breaking up with her boyfriend because she realizes how much she likes Aiden, but Aiden hears that conversation with the boyfriend, her talking to her boyfriend, and he gets all sad about it. She finds herself turning into her boss. She doesn't like that at all. Back in the unsuccessful timeline, she ends up painting a picture on the outside of her friend's bar, which leads to an art gallery owner wanting to connect with her to give her her own space inside of his gallery. Back to successful times, it is the night of the Christmas party. It is a smash hit. She slow dances with Aiden and they kiss. Once they kiss, she sees, like in her mind, this other life. Painting and whatnot, and she realizes that's what she wants. She doesn't want to be her boss, and so she wants to be an artist and care for people. So she leaves Aiden with one more kiss. She goes back to find her ex-boyfriend still living in her place with this girl, and ends up kicking him out. So she's walking down the road, and she comes across the art gallery from the other timeline. And she looks in, and she sees herself there. And she's like, whoa, what's this about? And then it goes to her inside the gallery in the what we're calling the unsuccessful timeline. And she, like, gets a jolt, and she's like, what? That's crazy. That I just felt like I just was, like, living in a dream. So she's walking down the road. She sees Aiden, and he's like, hey, it's you. You broke my heart when you missed your flight. The party was awful. You're lucky you missed it. And she's like, I only missed the plane by 10 seconds, but I'm better for it. And they end up kissing under the mistletoe, and everything turned out great. And that, my friends, was all about Christmas Eve.
We did it.
That's exactly right, everybody. Mm-hmm. It's all about Christmas Eve. And we're going to break it down with four segments and share how we felt about it. But first, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on Deck the Hallmark. P stands for perfect. H stands for awesome. I stands for I love it.
Incredible.
L stands for loving it too. O stands for oh my gosh, what did I do before Philo? That's Philo for you, everybody.
But better, but way better than that. Over 60 channels, unlimited DVR, things for the kids, things for the TV movies, things for the reality shows. You got it all in one place. It's Philo. It's for everyone. And right now, 25% off for 2 months. Go get it right now. Philo.tv/DTH. That's the place. 25% off for 2 months. Go get some Philo.
It's awesome. Hi, everybody. We're talking about All About Christmas Eve, and we have four segments to break this movie down. We're going to start with the hot take. None of us has seen this movie before, so we're all going in blind. Alonzo, what did you think of It's All About Christmas Eve?
So there's a tradition of these, you know, network Christmas movies being the sort of like Christmas version of blah. So, you know, we on this program talked about the 12 Dates of Christmas, which is basically the Christmas Groundhog Day. There have been at least two that I know of Hallmark movies. Y'all have reviewed at least one of them. That's a play on the Nicolas Cage movie, The Family Man, where somebody wakes up and they're a business person and now they have a family, or they're a family person and now they have a business. Eventually, I'm sure y'all will get to the Alicia Witt classic, I'm Not Ready for Christmas, which is the Christmas Liar Liar. Like, there's a lot. This is a proud tradition of these movies that they take a film you've already seen and then, you know, throw some tinsel on it. This is the Christmas version of the mostly forgotten Gwyneth Paltrow vehicle Sliding Doors, where she misses a subway train or doesn't miss a subway train, and those take her on two divergent life paths. It may be the greatest understatement of all time to say Hayley Duff is no Gwyneth Paltrow.
What? I beg to differ, sir.
And this movie is no Sliding Doors. It is not completely charmless, but it's kind of going through the motions, and it really is it's one of the ones where it feels like a stretch that it's even a Christmas movie. This movie could have been set at any time of the year, basically, and it would have made as much, if not more, sense, because again, it's the giant corporation decides at the last minute that they have to have a huge Christmas Eve event to attract investors, because that's when everyone is doing business things. It's kind of whatever.
So all I kept thinking about while watching this movie, and they kept going back and forth, was why?
Yep.
Why is this happening? And then at the end of the movie, when she's walking down and she gets to the gallery and she sees herself in it, and they do this thing with the hand and she tilts her head like an alien or something, I turned to Dan and I just said, Dan, this is why you don't ask Hallmark and these companies to do more. Like, let's just stay in our lane, because this is the type of nonsense we get. We get two Hayley Duffs and nobody asked for that. We get Hayley Duff looking at herself like she just saw an alien walk out of a spaceship. And that's not what anybody wants.
They cross the streams.
And I replied, this is still better than a rando We Forgot Already Hallmark movie. It's not good, but
it is better.
The badness of this is way more memorable. I just said, you don't even know what Memories of Christmas is about. And I knew what it was about. And he guessed wrong. He couldn't even remember
but
the movie.
That's not fair. Yeah. That's not fair. But that's not, I remember the movie. No.
You would rather have
that's
40
not fair.
Carbon
that's
copies.
That's not fair.
You would rather
it's
have
not,
40
yes,
carbon copies.
Yes, 100%.
Than this. 100%. Oh, no, I'd rather have this.
That's not fair, because we all know the titles are meant to be forgotten. The movies aren't. I remember the movie.
Meant to be forgotten?
Yeah, the titles are meant to be forgotten.
So you'd rather have 40 carbon copies than this?
1,000 times over.
Wow, not me.
Is Memories of Christmas Christina Milian?
Yeah.
Save the Lodge?
Yeah. Yes. Save the Lodge. He did it. Alonzo nailed it.
Yeah. He edited the book and wrote it down.
Yeah, he did. He did write some
books. That is true.
Yeah. But where are you at? Would you rather have 40 carbon copies, or would you want one of these with Hayley Duff staring at herself?
That's a toughie. I mean, I kind of feel like the 40 carbon copies get me through the season more. But at the same time, I get what Dan is saying, where at least this movie is trying. Its grasp exceeds its reach, or vice versa.
I never heard that expression.
But it's, you know, at least it is attempting to do something.
I am in the boat of just don't try it. Give me just a run of the mill.
Give you the guaranteed Christmas feels and the same guaranteed package every time.
Absolutely.
No, for me, this is a train wreck. It's a train wreck by every measurable estimation. It is a train wreck, but it is one that I would much more happily watch than the same two people doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. But make no mistake, it's really, really bad, guys. Hayley Duff, I'd never seen her in anything, and wouldn't you know it, there's a good reason for that. The male lead in this movie, we couldn't believe he was the male lead for a solid hour of the movie.
He was the Baxter.
We thought for sure, like, old Sideburns pushover is not, he's not the guy, right? He's not the guy. And I just,
like, he is me scootering out around work. Now,
right.
My scooter
that's
does right. have a motor.
That's right.
And is built for adults.
That's right.
Except I did see a bunch of just, you know, 10-year-olds riding into the park on my scooter a few weeks ago. And that bummed me out a little bit.
Sting you some?
Yeah. And then I rode off.
Regardless.
And I drank a beer because I'm old enough.
That's right. Get some, 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
You showed them with your scooter.
Let's be honest, I drank a hard cider.
Yeah, you didn't drink a beer. You weren't drinking a beer.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, it's bad. It's a really, really bad movie, and you know, only The only reason it's not forgettable is because of the conceit, which I had not seen done in one of these movies before. So that is the only thing positive I can say about it.
Yeah, but like, why? Like, why?
Like, you love when movies are cheesy, bad, terrible. I listened to one of our old episodes, Merry Christmas Match, mm-hmm. the first one from season two. Mm-hmm. And it's that movie is just a dog. It's a bad movie. And you gave this full thing about how it was different enough, like this full-throated, like,
yes,
it was different enough.
But it's important to note, Dan, that it is different enough within the realm of...
This stays in the lane of the guy and the girl. And
I
the
don't
stuff.
Want to see two Hailey Duffs looking at each other. So how much clearer can I make this?
So movies can be different as long as you're okay with the difference.
Yes.
Okay. All right. As long as, there we go. That's all I needed.
They can be magical, but only if Santa is
yes.
involved. Okay. Yeah. Brian is trying
yes.
to
say.
The unwritten. You should write a second book or maybe an addendum.
Yes.
Alonzo can help you. The unwritten rules and of different and non-different.
If Lord willing, everybody buys 1,000 books, we will do another one. And that one, I will write how to be different enough to get Brandon's rule of approval.
That's right.
I'll be home for Christmas movies, now available for pre-order.
That's exactly
Ooh,
right.
That's right.
That's exactly right. All right. Well, it's time for All the Feels. It's part of the show. We talk about what in this movie gave us those feels. Alonzo, any feels for you?
My feels were almost entirely of the hashtag not my Hallmark variety.
Oh, yeah.
Because this movie gets out there. First of all, somebody I know playing the bitchy airline gate agent, gay cult actor Dylan Vox. So that was fun to see. Drag queens, a lady in her underwear, the parents talking about, like, you know, innuendo out the yin yang. Like, I was like, this is whoa, yeah. Okay.
Scandalous.
According to the IMDb page, this movie is PG-13.
Yeah, we saw that when we rented it as well.
Woo.
Wild.
So that sort of just kind of like got my attention every so often. I was like, oh, this looks like, you know, a Hallmark movie, but it is occasionally very much not.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. No feels for me. No feels.
There you have it. You clearly are down on this movie. How
I hated
you?
This movie.
Yeah, yeah, more than A California Christmas.
I hate this movie way more than A California Christmas.
Yeah, you're wrong there.
Way more than A California Christmas.
I can't go with you on that one.
I do have feels for this movie, and let's be clear. In the Wait What section, I'm going to make fun of Diana DeGarmo plenty. But I have said on this program before, Oh Holy Night's one of my favorite Christmas carols, and it also is the one that when it's sung terribly is just the worst, and when it's sung great is worth listening to. And I actually thought Diana DeGarmo's Oh Holy Night was really, really solid. Like, I took notice that it was above par. It was really, really like I was like, oh, that was really good. And so that was a little moment for me. I had feels. You're welcome, Brian.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, I love it. We're in agreement there.
Yeah. She crushed it.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
We will take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we will get to our Wait What's in the What the Lifetime here on Deck the Hallmark. We're back, everybody. We're talking about, it's always, what is it? It was always Christmas Eve? What's it called?
All about
Christmas
Eve.
That's right.
We are at the Wait What part of the show where we talk about the things in this movie made us stop and go, wait, what? And I will go with my good friend Alonzo. Alonzo, wait, what?
You know, there's something about graphics that will take me out of a movie really fast. Like if somebody holds up a newspaper and obviously like the headline is a completely different font from everything else on the page, like that just, nothing takes me out of a movie faster. This movie is the king of bad graphics.
Yes. Yeah.
Starting with the Christmas-themed bar mitzvah, which has these banners above and below the stage in an unreadable font. Like, it's gold on white, and it's some jazzy sort of font that you cannot read.
Well, even before that, the title sequence was awful.
I thought you were going to start with the credits. The credits fonts were awful.
Awful font.
True, yes, 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 yes. You're right. You're right. I should dig in from the very beginning. And then when the boss tells her at the bar mitzvah that it's terrible, I thought, oh, well, yeah, she's right. And then we find out, oh, no, she's being ironic. Because it's so great. I'm like, it is? This looks like a dreadful party that no one is enjoying. So, but I mean, like, just constantly the video game that the slacker boyfriend is playing looks like some kind of, like, you know, test footage from 1988 of, like, what computer graphics.
That's what they thought it was. The future was in Tron.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Exactly. The Royal Bel Air sign for the hotel where she's staying, which for something that schmancy would not have this thing they got at Fast Signs in, like, the like Miami Vice graphics, the Gobble logo, the PowerPoint presentation that she gives, the mural that gets her discovered by an art gallery.
Get out of here.
All terrible. Yeah. So, like, whoever did the graphics for this movie, shame on you. she does not understand the context difference between saying the word homage and the word homage. Yes, they're spelled the same way and they kind of mean the same thing, but you do not just replace one for the other in a sentence. Diana DeGarmo. This movie was made in 2012. Yeah. Diana DeGarmo came in second on American Idol in 2008.
Oh, no, I had it at
2004.
Oh, 2004, you're right. Sorry, yes. So nobody in 2012 is thinking that Diana DeGarmo is a get for a big fancy tech party.
My big what the hallmark was, how do I get in contact with her people? Because her people somehow landed her a movie gig in 2012.
Yeah, that's impressive.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I think it was because of her husband, Ace Young.
Ace Young.
He really did it. Alonzo, you danced around.
And her people got Ace Young in. Got Ace Young. It was a 2-for-1. Oh, it was a 2-for-1 Ace Young.
Those managers are
on the deal.
Yeah, you know. For sure.
He will work for craft service, but he's got to be there.
Yeah, my biggest wait what, since I'll just piggyback on it, is this movie is made in 2012, but crushing 2005. Like... Like, it is crushing 2005. They got Diana DeGarmo and Ace Young. Yahoo is still popular. They're using PowerPoint graphics to transition between the two realities. The video, he's playing Wolfenstein 3D, I think, on his computer screen.
Oh, I forgot about the transitions. Those are so bad.
And they reference a ShamWow. So this movie crushes 2005. And the lead's got the sideburns. Like, this movie, 2005 didn't stand a chance. This movie.
That guy just walked out of a Real Big Fish show for sure.
That's right. This guy. Yes, he did. This. If you wanted a time capsule of 2005 made in 2012, this is your movie. It crushes it.
Christmas movies are all about nostalgia, Dan. I just want to really bring back those warm feelings.
What if we acted like everything from 2005 was still irrelevant. Super popular?
What if we just missed it, but this movie was supposed to take place in 2005 for no reason?
At one point in the movie, the guy's like, I couldn't have done any better with this party myself. Well, you got the runner up from American Idol 8 years ago. What a topper. That's as good as you got.
We've been talking about this for years.
That's right. Good gracious.
My only last thing is when she's giving the whole pitch about what her party is going to be. LA tech bros do not care about vintage Hollywood.
No.
Yeah. They just don't.
Fair enough.
And so, like, that's her big theme, and they're all like, woohoo about it.
Mm-hmm. I'm still foggy on the details of the PowerPoint presentation and how in the middle of the presentation, pictures from her booze cruise with her pals ended up in the presentation.
She accuses her assistant.
Yeah.
And right. he never says he did
or he didn't.
If he did it and he keeps his job, this guy's better than DeGarmo's agent. Like, he's great.
Yeah.
Clearly she has like a folder on her desktop that just says Cancun with the girls, and he just dug right in there.
The folder says, don't put these in the presentation.
Whatever happens. Yeah,
please don't.
We did it again. There's a when they're setting up for, I think, the Christmas party, she's telling people where to put stuff, and she tells the group of people she wants the Christmas tree a little bit over to the left, and that's because they initially put it in front of the middle of the stage. Yeah. Put it a little bit to the left, please. You're covering up the middle of the stage,
everything
with your Christmas tree. Elizabeth, the boss, has one of those amazing 2012 webcams that follows her when she sits and stands.
That's unbelievable.
She is going from sitting to standing, and it's not missing a beat.
Ex Machina stuff
it's,
there.
That it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. I was very confused by when she gets into this, this art gallery. The guy puts up a sign, and the sign is inside the gallery, and it's showing, like, it's not pointed towards the road. It's pointed towards.
But it's pointed in.
It's a both end. It's a both end.
The movie, other Hayley Duff sees it on the outside.
It is a both end, but like, if you're already in there, why do you need? Why
yeah, doesn't make
I was very confused by that.
You are here.
Yeah. And my last one is this. They're at the party, and Hayley Duff and, our brother are dancing with each other. And she says, "Do you remember this song? It was playing when we met." And that song is Silent Night.
Of course it is.
Well, now, I want to just say, I'm not the guy who has a problem with people slow dancing to Christmas music.
That's
because I do that all the time.
Me too.
What I do have a problem with is saying, "Do you remember this song?" Mm. It's not the Ting Tings. Like, it's Silent Night. Yeah. Like, it's literally one of the most popular Christmas songs. Do you remember this?
What is Silent Night?
Do you remember this one? Yes, we all do. Yeah. We all do
we
remember
hear it
this
every
song.
Movie. Unbelievable. Very much. Early in the movie, our leading male asked Hayley Duff if she is a female professional golfer, and we just call that professional golfer. you don't say female. You just say professional golfer. Like what? Like what? What could possibly be the reason for you to say female?
Well, clearly, this bar is popular with drag queens.
Clearly,
you don't want to make any assumptions.
That's right.
You know.
Good gosh. She says she was captain of the mini golf team in high school. Where did she go to high school? Frankie's Fun Park? Like what? Where is she going? This guy is the CEO of Gobble, which is apparently a big deal. That can they not get him an adult-sized scooter? Like he is, and when I look, he's going around on a scooter because he's hip and chill, but the scooter is made for children. He literally has to hunch over. The handlebars don't come up to his waist. Like, prop department couldn't spend the extra $50 at Razor for an adult-sized scooter? Why?
I just can't find an enemy to make fun of a guy riding a scooter at work. I can't do it. Whether it's size for you or not, my friend,
I can.
You do you, baby.
Because I can make fun of you, too. Speaking of this CEO of Gobble, his office is smaller than mine. His office is tiny. And in that tiny office, he has a tiny bulletin board. I'm going to say it's 1 foot by 2 feet. And on that bulletin board are printed out papers that just have the Gobble logo on them. And I don't know what that is about either. And last but not least, Hayley Duff's mom says she hasn't gotten the hang of voicemail yet. That's it.
She 2005, did. Dan.
It's a whole statement. Yeah. If this movie's in 2005... I'm back on board. She hasn't gotten the hang of voicemail yet. Can't get the hang of it. Just wish everything was back on machines back in the day. Whew, boy. Yeah, this movie's bad. This bad movie.
Well, and you know, in 2012, didn't she still have to like press 1 and call voicemail and type in a passcode? Do you remember those
days? My first visual voicemail phone was like in 13 or 14.
Okay, so yeah, so 2012, it was still like you had to call the number and put in a little thing, if I remember correctly. So that was tricky. It's time for What the Lifetime, the part of the show where we talk about questions that we still have that we would love some answers to. And I'll start with Alonzo. Alonzo, what are you wondering?
Well, first, actually, I have a little trivia bit to share. It's pointless, but it's something I noticed. So the dude who plays her conniving assistant, and if they'd really leaned into the whole All About Eve thing, he would have figured out a way to steal her job.
Of course.
Is played by an actor named Gib Gerard. He is the son of Gil Gerard, who you guys would not remember was TV's Buck Rogers back in the 70s. And his mom is Connie Selica, who plays the mean boss in this movie. So, just a little holiday nepotism.
There you have it.
My only way what was what the lifetime is, this is another movie where their song is Silent Night. I really want to know how that works over the years. Mm-hmm. Like, are they in a mall and every time it comes on, they have to look at each other?
Yep. Or
at some point, do they go, you know what? Like, we should have picked a better song because this is really, it's just too much.
Should have picked the Ting Tings.
You know, I just, there you go. Yeah, or Real Big Fish, anything. Yeah. It just seems like a weird choice, and these movies keep doing it.
My only other one, aside from who's the manager that made this happen, is just about, Gobble. Just Gobble. As Dan pointed out to me, it's a social network, and he put a lot of emphasis on social when he said it.
I was 80 years old. I don't know what happened.
Is that one of those social networks? it is clearly a social network, but I don't really know what its deal is. You know, I feel like all social networks have their deal.
Yeah.
And I don't know what their deal is, really. So if I would love
in 2005, I was still on LiveJournal. So yeah.
Right. Well, there you go.
This is big MySpace time in 2005.
Oh gosh, man, I loved MySpace. I could customize the stuff out of MySpace.
Yeah,
man.
You could. Yeah, and now on Facebook, you can't customize.
Can't customize Twitter, anything. What are you gonna do? How's anyone gonna know that I'm a big fan of colors?
I want to know, like,
how are people going to know who my 8 favorite people are?
I thought it was 10. Is it 8? I never was on MySpace.
It was 8.
Yeah.
But you could with custom code make it 10.
Custom code. Yeah. Wow.
I was one of those guys that got into the code. Yeah.
I bet you did. That sounds like you. Yeah. I want to know more about Tino and how he's not been arrested, but also, like, what the impetus was behind his wardrobe the first time we meet him. He is kind of wearing a suit and tie, but every button is undone. The tie is sideways. His hair is a mess. And I don't understand it. I just want to know what they were like. We want to make this guy look disheveled, but then he just basically, like, you know, hits on women the whole movie.
I'll say this, man. There's no way that guy still has a corporate job in 2021.
No way.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
He's the goofus of the, if there's like a Goofus and Gallant video they make you watch at Gobble about how to behave in the office.
In the office.
Like, not this
guy. He's the
guy.
Goofus. No, that's accurate. I'd take that for sure. Yeah. Old Tino. That's all I got.
Yeah. We did it, everybody. Congratulations. All About Eve, Christmas Eve. Yeah. What's the title about?
There's a movie called All About Eve.
No, what's the title of, like, why is it that title?
We don't know. It doesn't have anything to do.
They couldn't make sliding Christmas doors work either.
And isn't the end of the movie with the kiss, isn't that Christmas Day?
Yeah, it's not Christmas Eve. Her name is Eve.
Yes, her name's Eve. But just Eve.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We did that, everybody. Congratulations. We'll be back tomorrow with another exciting episode. Alonzo, do you have any parting wisdom you'd like to leave us with today?
I do. Summer's here. We're getting out of the house. It's very exciting. Wear sunscreen. You probably forgot because you didn't leave in 2020, but do your SPFs. Take care of your skin.
That's right. I love it. That's good stuff.
This is my favorite part of the Monday shows is Alonzo's wisdom. It's just my favorite thing.
It's all over the map, but wear sunscreen is important. I don't want to tell you. It's important.
It really is. Yes, it really is. We'll be back tomorrow. And until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.